Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Now, you know, one of the themes we continue to hear from the many doctors we've talked to is that when it comes to health and medical care, children are not just small adults. We've talked about that concept in relation to cancer, psychological and emotional aspects of care, even surgery and other treatment. And today we're going to take that concept even further. In the studio with me this morning is Dr. Irene Sills. Dr. Sills is a professor of pediatrics at SUNY Upstate with a specialty in pediatric endocrinology. We're going to talk about what that means in just a moment. Good morning, Dr. Sills.
Good morning.
And listeners, if that name Sills sounds familiar, you'll remember that Dr. Richard Sills was here just a few months ago to discuss children's cancers at University Hospital. They're husband and wife, so this is Mrs. Dr. Sills. I can only imagine the kinds of conversations that go on in your home.
It's usually not about medicine, actually.
Well, that's probably refreshing. Well, let's talk about pediatric endocrinology. You're not someone that most parents would need to take their children to, are you?
Exactly. And we see a small proportion of the kids in any community.
You do. Tell me, endocrinology in children, diagnosis and treatment of?
Kids with hormone disorders.
Oh, okay. So what kinds of hormone disorders might children have?
Well, we're concerned about kids' growth and physical development.
Okay.
Puberty, whether they are growing at an appropriate rate, whether they are too short, too tall, growing too fast, going into puberty too early, going into puberty too late. These are the kinds of issues that we deal with, and it's up to the pediatrician or the family practice doctor to detect that a particular child's growth and development don't look normal, and then enlist us to help figure out why that's indeed the case.
Okay. I have to think back into my days of teaching and my days of raising children. Children grow at all kinds of rates.
Right.
So what kinds of things would somebody detect, whether it would be a parent or a pediatrician, that would say that there was something not quite right?
Well, since the 70s, we have a marvelous tool called a growth curve.
Oh.
And it's a series of lines that describe how a particular child should grow. Taller kids grow along a higher line, shorter kids a lower line. And every time you go to your doctor for a routine checkup, your height should be measured.
Mm-hmm.
And that height plotted on the curve based upon the age of the child. And you get a pictorial representation of how your child is growing. A child who is not following along the line that there is their genetic line is a concern to all of us.
I see. So a child who, say, is born tall would be considered to go along a taller line. Do I understand that correctly?
That's an interesting concept. You can be born large and end up a short adult. So the size you are at birth has nothing to do with the size you're going to be as an adult.
Uh-huh.
It's more closely related to the size you are at 2 to 3 years of age.
I see. Okay. So a child at 2 to 3 years of age is measured for height. And then what? They get to be 8, 10? At what point do you determine that something's not right?
At any point.
Really?
They're on the, say, 25th percentile,
mm-hmm.
and age 5 have decelerated to below the 5th percentile. That's a concern.
I see.
So it can happen at any point in a child's
life.
I
see. So then that child gets referred to you. And
exactly.
What happens?
Well, then we have to figure out which hormone may or may not be working well. A child can have a problem with an underactive thyroid. Many people think hypothyroidism or underactive thyroid presents with obesity.
Mm-hmm.
But as a pediatrician, what I'm most concerned about is whether a child is growing well. Last week, I saw a child who had not grown at all in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Parents knew something was not right. They didn't need to buy longer pants or larger shoes.
Right.
The child did get a little bit bigger around the middle because she did gain weight, but when her pediatrician looked at that growth curve, checked thyroid function tests, and indeed she was very hypothyroid.
I see. So being hypothyroid, which means the thyroid's not working enough, is that correct?
Exactly.
And it produces a hormone to help children grow?
It's one of the hormones necessary for growth.
Okay, and what are those hormones?
Growth hormone is a big, large part of this. It's a hormone that comes from the pituitary gland.
Okay.
The pituitary gland is in your brain. It's behind your eyes.
Okay.
It's called the master gland, and it makes a lot of hormones that control other glands in the body.
I see.
Growth hormone is important.
All right. So this child would come to you, and you would determine that, in fact, she was not growing correctly. Then what do you do?
Well, then we have to do a careful physical exam, because some kids don't grow well because they do have an undiagnosed chronic disease.
I see.
Now, most parents would know that. Mm-hmm. They'd know whether their kid was ill or not. Mm-hmm. So the majority of kids who come to us have already been diagnosed with a chronic disease prior to getting to us.
I see. So if they have that chronic disease, that can affect their growth.
Exactly.
Which then means it's not the pituitary gland?
It means that the pituitary gland is making plenty of growth hormone, but because they're ill, the growth hormone isn't allowed to do what it needs to do.
I see. So then you have different things that you have to work with.
Exactly.
I see. Exactly. I see. And what about those children who are growing too much? Is that possible?
It's also a large concern, especially some kids who are growing too quickly, too early, have started puberty too early.
Ah.
We have average ages for when puberty should start, and we all know about the growth spurt that occurs during puberty. Mm-hmm. Well, if you've started puberty too early, either for some unfortunate reason like a brain tumor, or more commonly just because your pituitary gland has started stimulating your ovaries or your testes too early, mm-hmm. not due to anything bad, just mm-hmm. it's turned on, then you might start to grow too quickly, too early, and that's a concern for us.
I see. So now you're coordinating things that aren't just about growing taller or growing wider or whatever the body would do by itself, but you're also talking about puberty, and those are other issues you deal with, aren't they?
Exactly.
Let's talk about some of those. What are some of the issues? What are some of the reasons you see children for puberty?
Well, one of the reasons we see is we see teenagers who have yet to go into puberty.
Okay.
There are some families where the norm is to start puberty a lot later. So you look around the junior high school class, and the boys are starting to grow quickly, looking older, and then there's one boy sitting in the class who still looks like he's 11 years old.
Yes, and you know, there was one of those in my junior high, and really, it was so obvious that he just wasn't growing like the rest of
right.
us were.
And the greatest likelihood for that boy is that he's perfectly fine. He's just going to be going into puberty later on, having his growth spurt later on. Many people like that might grow in the early years of college. So they go back to their high school reunion and nobody remembers them because
right.
they look so much taller mm-hmm. than they did during high school.
I see.
Now, it's also possible, though, that they might have delayed puberty because they do have a serious disease.
And how do you tell? Are there tests you can
we
run?
Do. We get a careful history. Mm-hmm. Kid who's coughing all the time. Can't climb up the stairs, that's an indication that they might have an undiagnosed pulmonary disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a careful history. We do a careful physical examination. Is there anything in that abdomen that doesn't feel right? Spleen too big? Liver too big? Mm-hmm. Something of that sort? Did they have a cardiac murmur? I will say pediatricians today do a great job at screening kids for all these chronic medical problems. So it's usually been picked out before they come to me.
I see. And then by the time they come to you, then it's pretty much determined, and you do more determination, that they just aren't growing for some hormonal reason.
For some endocrinologic reason. There are some kids who will never produce the hormones that stimulate the ovaries or testes. It's a congenital defect in
really?
The pituitary gland.
And what do you do for them?
Then we have to give them the sex steroids. We have to give them back estrogen and progesterone or the male hormone testosterone.
You do. And is that something then they stay on for the rest of their lives?
Yes. If it's by the time you're 15 or 16, if you haven't been able to make these hormones, it's likely that you're going to need that supplementation for the rest of your life.
It is. Are there parents who think their children have growing problems, but they don't?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what do you do in a case like that? Then it becomes more a problem with the parent than with the child.
Well, growth curves are very helpful because mm-hmm. we explain to parents that it's okay to be short. Short stature is not a disease. What the disease is failure to grow. So kids who are decelerating in their growth rate. So we try to convince parents that that there are kids, perfectly healthy kids, who grow at the fifth percentile, especially if they're from short-statured parents.
Mm-hmm.
Many parents want their kids to be tall because they associate tall stature with success.
Yes.
But I have to point out that there are many unsuccessful people in our world who are quite tall.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the day, it's more than just your stature that gives you success in life. And I think parents, in wanting everything for their kids, want them to be taller, but can really understand my message too.
Absolutely. Do children grow on a bell curve? I mean, we see that typical bell curve. Are the majority of them right there in the middle? Or,
well, there is a 50th percentile, mm-hmm. and there's a 5th percentile and a 95th percentile. So there is a splay. The taller kids do tend to grow a bit faster. We get concerned about kids who are not growing 2 inches a year. That's the number that parents should carry around in their head.
2 inches per
year. 2 inches per year.
I see.
It doesn't mean that all kids who grow less than 2 inches per year do have a problem, but that is the number that we teach medical students and residents and parents to reflect on.
Well, that's a great gauge to go by. I know you also deal with children who have diabetes and issues
yes.
surrounding insulin and so forth. Speak to us quickly about that.
Well, I'd say about half my practice is kids with type 1 diabetes, kids mm-hmm. whose pancreases no longer can make insulin. And without insulin, you cannot metabolize the food you eat. So it's a life-threatening disease without insulin. And I've done this for the large part of my career, and my heart is really with these kids.
Yes.
There is a growing population of kids with type 2 diabetes who make insulin, but because they are so overweight, the insulin can't work well. And that's part of the concern, the public health concern, about the rising epidemic of obesity.
Absolutely. And we've actually had a number of people here to talk about that rising
yeah.
epidemic. That's a really scary thing. Well, Dr. Irene Sills, thanks so much for helping us better understand pediatric endocrinology. Great big word, but certainly you help children, and it's a wonderful thing. I know that parents must love working with you.
Thank
because
you.
You're so passionate for your work. And listeners, we're going to take a break for the news, but when we come back, we're going to bring you the conversation we had with Mr. Dr. Richard Sills, which originally aired last spring, and it was one of the most passionate conversations we've ever had on HealthLink On Air. This is University Hospital's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.